you're part of this fraternity now and you're passionate about what you do, you have to be there. If you're not passionate and you don't love your job, don't come.
Yeah.
Because this ain't for the less passionate and the guys who don't love baseball. Don't come to this.
I love it.
This is Baseball Disney World.
That's 4 days of baseball. Heavy,
yes,
baby.
It is.
And our AV consisted of a blackboard and a piece of chalk.
Right.
And I spoke at 4 national conventions as a head coach. We worked our way up to a microphone.
Sure.
We got big enough so we needed a microphone. And then you still had your blackboard and a piece of chalk. Such a good feeling. Actually, tears in my eyes sitting in the front row at the start of that thing this morning and looking back and seeing over 6,000 coaches in the room. That's something really, really special.
And when you as a coach step out and say, I'm more interested in you being successful
right.
than I am in me winning,
right.
then all of a sudden, now you give and give and give. And what do those athletes do when they receive? The most natural thing, they turn around and give right back. They give you all the effort. They give you all the attention, all the commitment. They run through a brick wall for you, regardless of the win-loss record. But it turns out that winning is a byproduct of success, but success isn't a byproduct of winning.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
Okay, here we are in Indy, and welcoming Tom Griffin to the podcast, and I'm afraid we're staring at the registration area. This is going to break out into a catching clinic here real soon with you sitting here with me. You got the gear on you?
No, Zan Barksdale, though, could do that very easily.
Well, I know there's a number of guys that would love to talk with you, or certainly a guy that I always think of as king of the drills, man. You just have so many creative ideas. You always think outside the box. We connected on our podcast, episode 54, and it's actually been one of our most well-received shows because you just offer so much, so passionate teacher, man. And that's what I love about you. That's why you're such a passionate member of the ABCA.
Well, you're very kind to say that, but this is the atmosphere right here that I think charges all of us up, no question about it.
Love it.
Doesn't matter the conditions outside, what's going on inside, not only the convention hall, the hallways,
right.
the hotel room,
yep.
the restaurants, everything that's going on really charges everyone up as far as getting ready for baseball.
That's right. Oh, that's awesome. Now, go back to your first experience at ABCA. What year was that?
We were just talking. Me and my mentor, Mike Policastro, who I played with and coached
mm-hmm.
with,
right.
we came, we think, 28 years ago.
You think because it's so long ago,
so long
you can't
ago.
Put an exact
yeah.
date on it?
Yeah, but I think it was 20. I've been coaching almost 29 years. And I think 28 years we've been coming together to this convention.
Gosh.
And we've had different assistants throughout the years that we've been able to bring here.
Right.
We've got two rookies here this year with us.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, that's why it's great because they're excited. They
yep.
don't know what to do.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them said he got on Twitter and saw that the things you ought to bring, you wrote down there.
Yeah.
About the power bars and this and
sure,
that,
yeah.
and he forgot all of it. So it really didn't matter what
didn't
you put
work.
On there. But
yeah.
the fact is, these are the things that we need to learn when we come to these things.
That's
and as
it.
Me and you talked about, Sheets, this is what we need to do for people to get licensure
That's
to
right.
a certain degree.
That's right.
They should have to come
yep.
to this convention simply because of what you're going to learn knowledge-wise from people, but not only inside, but outside.
That's right.
And the connections we're going to make with people. And that's what's been great. I love seeing when on Twitter when guys are putting, this is my fifth clinic or
yes.
seventh
yes.
clinic.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, shows the brotherhood, the union
100%.
That we have here.
That's it.
And that's what's been great about the ABCA. They have fostered that.
That's it.
And someone's got to make it happen. You've been a great point man on that in the ABCA. Just watching how, we were just talking about this, the things we get, the check-in process, everything has just gone in
sure.
a whole different direction.
We're looking out for you. Our job here at ABCA is to serve our coaches, and we work for any avenue that we can to do that. And we consider ourselves the baseball coaches fraternity,
yep.
which is a word that's going to come up here a lot.
Yep.
I know even you and I have talked off air and on air about how this convention is such unique. Our brotherhood of baseball coaches are such unique animals. We'll share everything but our signs. We'll talk about first and third offense,
yeah.
and I'm gonna play you next week, and we'll see if you can defend it.
Yeah.
But expand on that because I think there's so much to be gained of the experience here. Where where coaches in any segment of the hotel, the lobby, inside the clinic hall, outside the clinic hall, throughout the trade show, those conversations are happening.
They do. They happen in the hallway out here where maybe three or four guys are talking about something. And next thing you know, there's a guy standing behind.
That's it.
Who's kind of just taking it in. Sure. Or as he's walking by, he hears something about a hitting drill. And I think once you see that, I think that's when they stop. And no one says, hey, you know, what are you looking at? It's kind of like we know you're there. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
And listen, we all know on any level there's knowledge on every level. We actually feel like on the lower level, if you want to call lower level high school or travel, those guys actually have to do more teaching.
That's it.
We can learn more from them because they don't get the talent to choose from. They get what they get. They got to develop it. And a lot of times we can learn what they're doing. And I think that's the thing we've seen across the board. A guy was asking about who's been here the longest. I said, Coach Ron Polk, I've seen every year.
Every year.
Sits over to the side, still takes notes, still trying to learn. And this guy wrote a playbook. That's the Bible of baseball.
That's it.
And yet he's still trying to learn. So that kind of tells us all, hey, keep figuring it out.
I think there's so much to take away from that. I know one is, you know, we were talking, Coach Corbin led this whole thing off today, and that was one of the statements he made. And the point that I made, I even made it out on the Barnstormers tour, was that Coach Corbin, a guy that we see on national television, we watched him win the national championship, we know what Vanderbilt's all about. And I think most coaches see him and they think, you know what, I'm going to go to ABCA, I'm going to see Tim Corbin, I'm going to see Tom Griffin, and I'm going to walk up to him and I'm going to go connect with Griff. He's going to give me so much great catching information. Mm-hmm. And I think what's unique, and I think what most coaches can't appreciate until it happens, is that conversation quickly flips. Griff, what are you doing in your program that I can bring back to Carson Newman with me that's going to make me better? What can you give me?
Yeah, that's the thing I think everybody has to understand when you come to this, is we do want to learn from other people because there's things that you're doing we can utilize. To be said in the same decision as Corbin,
now
come on.
That's it. 100%.
That's a different guy.
No.
You know, but he
– I'd say in the state boundaries. That is
yeah, exactly. Right. But, you know, Coach Corbin, I'm fortunate to be have been involved in his camps for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he is who he is.
Yeah.
He is that way. He interacts with so many different people.
That's it.
And part of it is because he started on a small college level. But
major
even if he had started at Clemson, he'd still be the same guy. And I think you see that with coaches. I've heard, because we talk about our convention with other coaches in our program, basketball, football. They don't act like, and they don't talk like this is what happens in their conventions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but it seems like in baseball, there seems to be more of an openness to what we're doing that you don't maybe see in football or basketball that I've heard of from our coaches.
And he brought up the exact same point. And I think it's something that's hard to put your finger on exactly what that is. Certainly, it's the DNA of a baseball person.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's in our blood. I think when you do have the sickness for what we do, if I had to pinpoint something just on air, I think it's something that we deal with failure more than those guys do.
Yeah, good point.
So there's, you know, so there's a little bit of humility that comes with being part of what we do, because nobody goes out every year and goes 55-0.
That's right.
We're all going to lose a few. We've all been down. We've all been up. And I think that might level us out a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. And I think that the fact that we need the youth league coaches are the ones that are developing this thing as they come up.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure we're filtering it back down into that system and help that growth process.
Yep.
That's why I think when you're here, you see youth league coaches, you see travel ball, NAIA, JUCO, D3, D2, you see it all.
That's right.
I wonder if we go to a football convention, do we see Pop Warner coaches in the amount that we see youth league coaches? I don't know. But it seems like that game, how we hit, how we bunt, can trickle all the way up into the professional level.
That's a tremendous point. That actually motivates me to figure out how to get to one of those conventions and see it for myself
and
maybe report back to you what I saw. But you're definitely dead on. There's a unique dynamic in there in what we do and maybe what those other sports may not do. There's an element here that I really want to get into, because, you know, we've got some guys filtering in here right in front of registration, and there's a point to be made of a younger coach that's out here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now you got – I'm not going to say that you've got years – you've got perspective, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm not calling you old. I'm saying you're bringing perspective to this answer.
Right.
There's a kid out here that's probably 23 and it's his first year coaching. Or they're listening to the show and they didn't come, but they're 23 and they're trying to figure out what's so special about ABCA. Why should I come every year? Why is it Can't Miss?
First, I think if you're a young coach wanting to move up in this game, it's all about the contacts you make and the people you meet. And so as far as the resume goes, if you want to add to your references, this is where you're going to meet people. I knew guys that got jobs during this time right now.
Yes.
And I know one in particular that went up to the hotel room with the head coach, sat down and talked with him, and was hired to come back in January to be the volunteer assistant at a Division I program. These guys, some people are looking for someone to fill a position. Some guys here are looking to fill a position come May.
Right.
We're going to meet some of them while they're here, while we have conversations and get to really know them as people.
Right.
Whether we're sitting around drinking a water, a Coke, whatever beverage you choose,
whatever
that's
your choice
what's going to happen.
Yep.
And I think the knowledge, though, just to keep bringing in, what's nice is this packet we get.
Yes.
That notebook we get right now is a lot different than it was 25
it's
years
changed.
Ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's almost, man, here it is. I can get all my notes down. I can take this, put this in my playbook, utilize some things that I've heard, agree with or disagree with, spark conversation. But as far as the contacts we meet, one of the things I would tell guys, do not miss speakers.
Yes.
I get some young guys will get here and they got the city atmosphere, the nightlife.
Sure.
And I want to get out and see that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it keeps us from getting up in the morning.
That's right.
Now, if we're going to hoot with the owls, you got to
soar with the eagles,
baby.
No doubt.
So if you want to get up and go do that stuff, get up in the morning, see the first speaker, stay through all the speakers, because
yep.
I think it's a respect factor, too, for those guys that are putting their time in.
I agree.
But you're going to take something from somebody. And
yes.
Don't think, this guy here is speaking about, you know, we've heard some guys say they get out when they start talking about the heart of a champion or the heart of the player. We've learned more about how to deal with people because of what the speakers you've brought in. When we think that speaker ain't going to affect us, usually the one
it
that
usually
can,
does.
It usually
That's right.
does.
That's
so
right.
See every speaker, spend time outside your room. That room is only to put your stuff. It's storage.
That's it.
It's sleep. You had
That's
that.
It.
That was fantastic.
And take a shower.
And take
That's
a shower.
It.
The rest of it, you got to be out here meeting people. And as you're a college coach, I'm trying to meet guys that I connect with for recruiting purposes. High school guys, recruiting purposes. Mm. Everyone here has a purpose for each other.
So awesome. So awesome. Yeah. I do want to leave you with this. In terms of a guy that is maybe sitting on the fence, maybe just push him over. Get him to Dallas. He's sitting there going, you know, it's okay, it's fine, but come to Dallas. What do you got for him?
Listen, for me, I leave here and the biggest problem I have is the information I take from here, keeping it till next fall.
Right.
Because I want to go back and be like, hey, on infield play now, we may want to do this or change our terminology.
Sure.
Man, there's a drill we saw, and I got to be careful not to throw it right in because the guy's like, wait a minute. So I got to wait, and I got to hold on to that information until we get into the summer or fall. So every year I'm leaving here with this golden nugget that when the summer comes, I got to open up the book and say, okay, here's how we're going to change our terminology
That's
for
it.
Infield play. Or in pitching, there was a talk about some balance points or some ways to do another drill. We want to utilize that. It's knowledge, aptitude. This game's all about aptitude.
100%.
And I like what the ABCA has done over the course of the years in bringing in some guys where it's about the mind, the mental aspect of the
sure.
thing. That's so big right
yeah.
now.
Yep.
And we can utilize that right now,
That's
the
right.
mental aspect. So some of the speakers that talk about the heart of the player, how to get through to the player, the
yep.
mental aspect of the player, that's stuff we can take back right now.
That's so good.
We got to do that. And guys have to come to it. The numbers are growing. There's a reason it's growing. It's because it's something that's good for them.
That's
right. If the numbers were dropping, you'd be like, well, but they're growing. You got to be a part of that if they're growing. If you're part of this fraternity now and you're passionate about what you do, you have to be there. If you're not passionate and you don't love your job, don't come.
Yeah.
This ain't for the less passionate and the guys who don't love baseball. Don't come to this.
I love it.
This is Baseball Disney World.
That's 4 days of baseball heaven,
Yes,
baby.
It is.
Oh, Griff, man. We're just so thankful there's guys like you out there in our game. We're thankful that you're passionate about what
Thank
we do and who we are.
Yeah.
And, man, I hope you really enjoy your time in Indy, man.
I will, Sheets. Thank you for all you do, as always. You've done a great job with connecting us all together and your personality. I've said that before. Outstanding
sure, yeah.
job. We appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
I feel redundant to keep saying I'm connecting with one of the great people inside the ABCA, but I'm going to say it one more time, one of the best dudes inside the ABCA, because I know you wouldn't say it yourself, Dan Heefner from Dallas Baptist. Heef, what's going on?
Not too much. Great to be here.
Welcome to the podcast on site. You and I connected the last show of 2017 before we did our convention recap. We ended the year with you. You and I worked really hard to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Battled you all fall, but I was not going to give up till we got you on the air. Really appreciate you doing it. I think we've got a lot of great feedback from your show because it really ended up falling into two parts, Heath. We talked about hitting for a lot. There was so much to be gained from that, but there was so much to be gained from certainly what you've done throughout your career and how you go about doing it. Have you gotten any feedback from the show?
I have. Yeah, I've heard from a few people. It's pretty neat just how broad the scope of it is now and how many sure. people listen to it. So I know this convention is grown and is huge now, but it's almost like we have a convention every week with the podcast. So you've done a great job with it.
I appreciate that. And we're doing some stuff on site to really capture the energy that's inside this. And I think that's something that if you're not here, it's hard to really quantify. It's hard to really make it tangible. So we tried to do an on-site show to do that because next year we're walking right into your backyard in Dallas. So let's start there. There's going to be some coaches listening to this that, for whatever reason, couldn't make it out to Indianapolis, and we're going to be coming to your hometown. Maybe what's your pitch of what's so important, what's can't miss to you about these events?
Oh, I think it has been huge for my development as a coach. I first came when I was a junior in college and have been coming every year since then.
I love this.
It's just been everything in my development as a coach, the things that I've learned. Another one is it's just so motivating, too.
Sure.
You know, you get to hear from the best of the best, and it's not just what you hear in the clinics. It's the conversations you have outside, and
yep.
it's all the hot stoves. And, you know, it's just neat to see how the convention grows, not only in number, but in the amount of information that's getting put out, too.
Right, right.
So not only do we have the main clinic stage, but we got the expo theater, we got the youth sessions, we got hot stoves. You know, it used to just be a pitching hot stove. Now there's hitting, infield, catching. There's
right.
everything.
Sure.
So it is literally nonstop information for 4 straight days. And on top of that, you know, just getting to network and to meet new people. And, you know, one thing I enjoy the most is not necessarily meeting new people, but seeing all the people that you've coached against or coached with through the years.
Right.
Where it's just this, it's kind of like a, you know, I love having alumni weekends with our team where all the guys come back together and,
sure.
you know, just reliving memories and stuff. And that's kind of what the ABCA is for coaches. It's like our alumni event.
I love that. It seems so funny that our conversations always circle back to relationships. And that's what you're talking about. You're
yep.
talking about the power of relationships. So I guess for a guy, you know, along that same point, coming here and rekindling some of those old relationships, seeing some of those old guys, how fulfilling is that for you as a person, as a coach?
Oh, it's great. I think it just reinforces why we do what we do.
There
I
we
mean,
go.
The wins are important and success on the field. We're all going to strive for that. And that's a big reason why we're here, so we can get better and make our players better.
Right.
You know, but the truth is that all of our careers are going to end, but those relationships will last a lot longer than that. And the impact that we can make on players and on the fellow people we coach as well,
mm-hmm.
that's going to last forever.
Oh, I love it. I you're a guy that is cut from the cloth of you're always challenging yourself. You're always trying to find a new way, a better. If there's a better way out there, let's bring it to DBU. So I'm wondering, and I'm going to put you on the spot, but is there one thing in particular maybe you walked into this convention with, a game plan of, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a conversation about this topic in the game that maybe you could bring back and challenge what you're even going to do this spring with DBU?
Yeah, we've always – honestly, we have a list of things we're trying to get better
okay.
at.
Okay.
You know, I love hitting, so that's a natural one for me to always seek that out mm-hmm. and to know the latest things that are going on. But, you know, my areas of responsibility besides just being the head coach is I work with our hitters and I also work with our catchers. And I think we've seen some really neat things in recent years from a catching standpoint.
Sure.
I know Zan Barksdale is going to speak this morning on new school catching. And,
yep.
and I think that's a great title for it because it really is kind of – not necessarily developing some new ways, but I think showing us kind of what some of the elite guys are doing what
right.
might be a little different than what we've taught in the past.
Right.
So I love anytime I get to hear Zan. You know, another one just, you know, trying to diversify as a program to become better on the bases. And,
okay.
you know, there's always going to be – I think that's another area where we're seeing some real progressive
100%.
Things happening. So those would be a couple for me. You know, another one that's – and this is an interesting one. You wouldn't necessarily think this, but I've learned a lot just going through the exhibition hall.
Oh, wow.
You know, when
okay.
you go through there and you've got, you know, there's a lot of different technologies and all the different stuff people
sure.
are doing. But there's also, there's some people there that are doing some neat new stuff. And just hearing what they're doing and be able to learn from them and kind of see things from a different perspective, I think, is how you really challenge yourself and challenge your program.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's an interesting dynamic when you can walk the floors of the world's largest baseball trade show and you can mix it up with 300 plus exhibitors. There is certainly something to be gained. That is a unique perspective, Heath. I appreciate you bringing that to our show. What are you excited about walking into 2018? I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't prepare you for these, but what are you walking into 2018? Where can you grow personally? Because I know you're a guy that thinks that way. Where can you grow personally this year?
Well, going into the season, I'm excited for our season. I like our team a lot.
Yeah.
I think we have some really strong leaders, some great guys, great personalities, guys who are selfless. So I guess one way where I want to challenge myself is just to continue to foster those relationships.
There we go.
You know, I think sometimes every team you have is sometimes you have to take more of the leadership role for the team because you don't have those player leaders.
Right.
We got great player leaders this year, so I'm excited about maybe not necessarily doing so much from a, they have to hear my voice all the time, but pouring into those leaders and then letting them do it behind the scenes. That's something I'm challenging myself on, is to maybe, step back and close my mouth a little bit more and let those guys do what they do. Because they're, a lot of times they're going to say it better than I am, and they're in the locker room with them. So I'm excited about that.
Now, are you prepared to jump on the main stage with us this year? Are you fired up about that?
Prepared as I'm going to be.
Well, we know you are.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's an incredible honor, but it's also nerve-wracking because you're in front of your peers.
Right.
And and the other thing, too, that is, it's really humbling to know, like, okay, everything I've learned from other people.
Sure.
And here at the ABCA has been a huge influence on my development as a coach. So it's kind of like, all right, I'm just regurgitating a lot of stuff that I've heard here in the
sure.
past. So
that's what we all do.
Yeah. But it's, it's an incredible honor. And, I'm just praying that I can say some things that'll help some coaches that they can take back and help their teams out.
I know that you will. Your second time up there, so you know what you're walking into. But I do want to give you a little caveat here. We will have our biggest convention ever. We're getting ready to cross over into 6,000 coaches here in Indy. But we know that you're going to do a fantastic job, deliver a great message for our coaches. And I certainly know there will be some takeaways from your presentation. So wish you the very best when you jump up there. I hope you crush your time here in Indy. And Heath, thanks for jumping on our show with us.
Thank you.
Now, this is a moment for me. This is going to bring it all full circle, Minj. Bringing you on the podcast, obviously we've connected on the airways before, bringing you back on, but getting you at the show, the one, again, you're going to speak now as a head coach. I've heard you as an assistant. Now you get to be the head coach at University of Kentucky up on the main stage. Nick Mingione, thanks for jumping on the call with us, man.
Oh, thanks. It's been a good 10 years, however long we've known each other.
It's been a long time, man.
To think I spoke here in 2008, and now here we are in 2018 to do one. It's an honor for sure.
That's pretty awesome. Always a pleasure to see you. Obviously, walking the halls, man, getting bumping to some guys. You excited or what?
I am. I don't have bad days. You know me.
I know that. I know that for sure.
But no, it's good. This convention is really neat because let's just use me and you for an example.
Absolutely.
I've known you for 10 years.
Yep.
And here we are hanging out. But what gets us to be together
right.
is the convention.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So when you think about like all the different relationships that we create through this great game of baseball, it's like this is the one place we can all come and go, hey, you going to the convention?
That's right.
And it's like that's what makes this thing really neat is, when you just think back on mine and yours relationship.
100%.
Where we are now and what we're doing, but this is the thing that connects us.
I don't think we could have wrote that script 10 years ago. I don't think we could. I don't think it would have fallen into place the way we would have wrote it that time.
Yeah.
No, this is awesome, and I'm obviously a lot of guys are excited to see you up on the main stage this year. And but more than that, when you come to convention, talk to us why this is a can't-miss part of the year for you. Talk about being, the batteries getting recharged. Talk about what this means to you as a coach.
Well, one thing I've always tried to commit myself to, and this thing we share with our team at Kentucky, is you just want to keep learning.
Right.
And if you can go through each day and just try to learn, grow, and improve and do those three things.
Right.
What no better way for us as coaches
yep.
to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, which that I believe that's going to lead to growth, and then hopefully we'll be improved, which in turn will help improve our players and impact their lives. So.
So awesome.
There you go.
Now, there's a element to this, and we talk about the ABCA being the baseball coaches fraternity. Can't talk about fraternity if you don't talk about brotherhood. Can't talk about brotherhood if you can't go into relationships. How important are some of these relationships that you get to see here? The old ones that have been there forever, like ours, but maybe even some of the new ones you get to kick off here.
Yeah, this is one of those places where I remember sitting
yeah.
in the stands going, man, I want to speak it.
Yes.
Right? Like you just remember looking up and going, wow.
I remember sitting there going, hey, one day I want to do a podcast there. No, I'm struggling. no, go ahead. Keep going. Keep rolling.
No, but just sitting there, as a young coach, just getting into it and going, wow, there's like, former big leaguers, there's college
yeah.
head coaches. And to think like, wow, now, you get an opportunity to maybe pour into them.
That's right.
Is really neat because, man, I didn't make this stuff up.
Right.
Right. Like,
right,
I didn't 100%. Make this up. Where did I get this?
Right.
And so a lot of stuff that, obviously that we're using today and that I've learned is just from right here at the convention. So to think that our sport and the relationships that you meet, hey, there might be someone out there today, tomorrow that, we're going to work together one day.
That's right. That's right.
Right? And you just don't know. And that's what's powerful. Cool about our sport.
Oh, so we try to talk about it on our podcast all the time, especially here at convention. You don't know if you're standing on the elevator, if that guy next to you may hire you one day, or maybe you hire him. So be aware of your surroundings. More importantly, trying to shake as many hands as you can, build your network. And let's go into that a little bit deeper. Talk about maybe you as a younger coach. What did you not understand at that point that maybe is so clear to you now?
You know, Sheets, I'm glad you asked me that, because that's part of my first part of my presentation.
Okay.
On
Sweet.
Friday is,
I walked,
you know,
into your spider web.
A championship culture. You know, when I first got started, I was the drill master. I had 5 million drills. 5 million.
That's awesome.
Right? So it's like, man, I thought the players were going to listen to me because I, like, dude, what do you want? You want to drill for this?
You
want
to drill
for
that? What do you need?
Dude, we got it. It's like a menu, right? Like, you go to your favorite restaurant, then you got appetizers.
Trifold.
Dude, there's like 3 pages of appetizers.
I
sweet.
Love
then
it.
You go. But what I had learned is, it's like, man, they got to know you care first,
that's
right?
It.
Like, they want to know how much you care before how much you know. And so to think about, like, the culture and the relationships and the trust, about how that is way more important than maybe the drills. So for me, when I get a chance to be on stage, that's the first thing I want to talk about, because I didn't know that.
Right, right.
When I was a young coach. To answer your question, I didn't know that. And, man, I'm thankful that I've kind of figured it out, and I believe it works.
Well, that brings you back to earth, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, we talk about that all the time, and it seems to be a common theme on our show. Like, there's an aha moment that all of us, it hits you at some point where you've been chasing rings and trophies for so long, and finally you realize, if I don't have relationships, I don't have anything.
No.
I know that's a huge motivator for you.
It is, and it just takes time.
It does.
That's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
Last year, the success we were able to achieve took time. We have some really good players.
Yeah.
But, man, it just took time to develop those relationships and trust. And, you know, then you look back, you know, 8, 9, 10 months later, and you're like, wow, you know, that worked. But it was because of the relationships that you built them, but they take time.
There's so many second-year head coaches, Nick, that are going to listen to this. And obviously you coming in last year, and we spoke even on the show, even to kick off last year, 2017, we talked about how loving the players that were already there and really just building culture and culture. I would imagine even after a loss, your talk to those guys wasn't as much about the inside of the game, more as it was accentuating culture and what you really wanted to establish. How's year two going?
Oh, it's going good. You know, we have so many new players. Again, you just got to start all over.
Right.
Right. The just if you think about cooking, the recipe, right? Like, man, unless you do everything identical, the exact same way, you measure out every little
right.
ingredient, you got it, you take your pictures, you know, like, right? And sometimes you cook something, go, man, it just didn't taste right.
Something's off.
It just takes time.
It does.
So, you know, and the players tend to remember the last bit. So they remember, you know, with the opportunity to go to the College World Series and being two wins away. And they remember the dog pile. But, man, they don't maybe remember what it was like in August.
That's right.
So it takes time. Our players really care, and that's really important to me.
Sure.
They really, really care, which I believe we got a chance to win the whole thing because of how much they care. And you know what? It requires a certain skill level, which I believe we have too. Whether or not we do it, I have no idea. But
right.
It's been a lot of fun because those relationships, as we just mentioned, are deeper.
Oh,
they're
love
a year
it.
And a half deeper, and that makes it stronger, which ultimately I believe is going to make our team stronger.
Well, I'll be in Omaha this year, and I'm unapologetically on air hoping that the University of Kentucky joins me out there in Omaha this year.
We'll see you there.
I love it, and you're obviously, you know how big of a fan I am of you. We're thankful that guys like you are inside what we do. I'm excited to see you up on the main stage, man. Enjoy your time in Indy. I know you'll crush it.
Yeah, Sheets, thank you. And, you know, I just can't thank you enough for everything you're doing to grow our sport, because
appreciate it.
What people don't understand, and I know a lot of people do, but just the ABCA in general, what you guys do to build this connection and this bond and to reach out to all these coaches. And ultimately, I believe this with all my heart, you're impacting lives, and that's what I want to do.
That's
right?
it.
Right? And I think and I hope that's what the rest of the coaches want to do. So this is a really neat event, and I'm just honored. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome, man. Good luck.
Go Cats.
That's it. Walking through the lobby, we jumping them on the podcast. Rick Vanderhoof from Cal State Fullerton. Hookie, thanks for jumping on with us.
No problem.
Talk about this convention, man. Excited to be here in Indy?
It's a little colder here than it is in Southern California, I'll tell you that much.
I noticed, yeah.
But, yeah, I've never been here before, and, you know, it's always good to start the year to get to see everybody before we all get grinding away.
This is one of those events that's a can't miss for you every year, every January, correct?
Yeah, I prefer when it's in Anaheim.
I bet you do.
I can even go to work those days.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, it's just it's gotten so much bigger every year, and it's just, you know, it's all the guys getting together.
I know you're not a numbers guy, so I won't ask you to give me the stats, but first convention, take us to the year, take us to that experience.
Whew.
Oh, yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. Got to think here.
It was New Orleans.
Okay.
1932. No. I'd say 1990.
Okay.
It was pretty fun. I was at Fullerton. Coach Horton was speaking, so we had to go up to his room for hours so he could practice in and out. he had Coach Mosiello doing all his drills and everything. And I know one night they ragged me because I got my tennis shoe shined on the back of the hotel.
Well, there you go. How'd they look?
They were good. They were black, and they got shined nice.
Nice. Well, when you come out to these conventions, obviously I get the chance to bump into you at every one of them, and when you get a chance to come out here, how cool is it to bump into all your old friends, hang out, really enhance those relationships?
It's really good. I like to see the high school guys and the summer ball guys.
Yep.
The rest of us run into each other probably more often than we get a chance to run into them.
Sure.
But, you know, I got my book and stuff today and read what everybody's going to talk about on their topics, and then, you know, you pick out and you got to come here, Sully, at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Have to.
He's the man, and then you just scope through everybody you're going to hear talk.
I love it. You know, there's a theme that keeps coming up on our podcast, and you even echoed this on our show. We talked about you got to keep learning. You always have to keep challenging where you're at, keep finding a way to develop. What's something, putting you on the spot here, but what's something new that you maybe saw differently, that you maybe adjusted even in fall practice or maybe in walking in the spring?
Well, there's something all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I was making a joke when I was going through the convention inside. The over and under on the different types of tees in there, I set at 80.
Yeah.
So we have to go through and count and see how many different types of tees are in there. When it just used to be one tee and you put a ball on it and hit it, they even have one in there that does it all by itself.
Right.
But, I mean, you have to keep doing everything as you go through.
Sure.
I mean, you have to keep trying to learn and get different things and pick heads. And when you watch somebody else play, you see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Morris over here teaches us all the time. but you just have to be able to keep learning. The game changes. The game changes
awesome.
Yearly, and it just keeps going different directions.
Mm. Now, there's so many, obviously, young coaches that are out here in front of us. There's going to be a lot here in the convention. There's going to be a lot that are going to be listening to this post-convention show. So if you could speak directly to those young coaches, what advice are you going to offer and throw their way?
You know, keep things simple.
There you go.
You know, you go in here, and there's all kinds of things that teach you this and help guys do that. Baseball's still the same game.
There it is. It
takes a bat, a ball, and a glove, and guys that compete against each other. But keep it simple. You know, you go here and you hear a bunch of people talk, and then everybody wants to take it in and implement everything. Implement what works for you.
There you go.
You know, we only do a few things, and we try to keep things as simple as possible in our program, and let them do the simple things right and learn the fundamentals. And that's basically what the game's about.
Yep.
You know, you can have launch angle and all that, but you know, you got to hit it to have launch angle.
That's right.
So
now I know it's going to be a great day because I bump into Patrick Murphy from Alabama. What's going on, brother?
Hey, this is a little bit of a shock to the system, but everything's inside and the walkways are awesome, so no big deal.
Here's what I love, man. I think when we talk about ABCA and learning and growing, more than that is it's about great people. And certainly, dude, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're one of the best dudes I know. I'm so thankful for our friendship and our relationship. Jumping you on the podcast a few weeks ago, and it's been such a well-received show, Murph, and I think what's come out of that has been your passion for teaching, your passion for relationships, and I think the relationships piece is what feeds right into this convention. Talk about when you show up on site, rekindling some of those great friendships. How's that go for you when you're here?
Well, a couple stories. You know, I think it was yesterday I saw the tweet from Ron Polk.
Yeah, right.
And his 50 years of continuous membership.
Yep.
And my 30 looks pretty pale compared to that. But, you know, he's somebody that I did a clinic with probably 18 years ago in Toledo, Ohio.
Wow.
And we literally rode the airport shuttle to the hotel, talked for 10 minutes.
Sure.
And I didn't see him again for probably 15 years. And there's a spot in the opponent's bullpen at Alabama where I like to stand and watch the game.
Yeah.
I'm all by myself, and I sneak in the back gate. And the only negative is it's the opponent's bullpen.
Right.
So I usually ask one of the catchers that's in there, do you care if I stand in here? And it was UAB.
Sure.
And he said, no big deal. And probably 5 minutes later, somebody comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Ron Polk, and he says, Patrick Murphy, 15 years.
That's him.
I could not believe that, and that has stuck with me since then, and one of the neatest people I've met. And then yesterday I'm on the elevator, and Augie Garrido's in there, and I said, I've always wanted to meet a legend, and we talked for 5 minutes going down in the elevator. So this is just a place to meet really good people.
Yep.
And everybody loves to share. That's why I love to come here. It's an open book, and it's one of the best things that I do.
It's awesome. Now, did you smell the cigar smoke before he got to you?
No, I didn't.
Always with the stogie. Love Coach Polk. Here's something that comes out of these conversations that we're having. Had Augie on yesterday, had a number of different guys, and it comes back to being a lifelong learner. And I know that's something that has really got you, you know, by the heartstrings. That's something that really motivates you in the coaching profession.
Yeah, I just think if there's somebody doing something well and we're not doing it as well, I want to learn to see how he's doing it or she's doing it.
Right.
And, you know, the easiest way is to pick up the phone.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a couple of people here that I've met that way. And Justin Dedman, who's the new hitting coach in Miami.
Yeah.
I emailed him and he sent me, you know, 30 pages of hitting notes.
Just, of course he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's just people like that that, you know, but you got to want to get better and you got to want to learn. And that's why I'm here.
Such a unique dynamic for those that are paying attention to this. You know, Murph being the head softball coach at Alabama, but also a 30-year continuous ABCA member. That's such a unique dynamic of having someone from the softball realm, which I think you've opened the door to a number of different softball folks, whether assistant coaches or head coaches, that find a way to come to ABCA. So I'm guessing for our listeners and for our coaches paying attention is, what do you gain from this show knowledge-wise that you take back with you to Alabama?
Well, you know, I started out as a high school baseball
coach.
Right,
right, right.
And you had asked me when was my first convention, and I believe it was 91, but I don't remember where.
I was 10 years old in 1991. Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Anytime. That's what I'm here for.
But I remember, too, we went to 1 year, I think it was California, and we took buses, I believe it was Fullerton, to see live demonstrations.
You're right, yes. Yeah.
And that was one of the coolest things, too, because you got to listen, and then you got to see it put in play. Yeah. But the games are so similar.
Sure.
You know, I think baseball swing is a softball swing.
Yeah.
The fielding is the same.
Yep.
The mental game is the same. I love it when my players become good friends with the baseball players at Alabama because they're going through the same things that my girls are.
Right.
And they can feed off of each other and they can learn from each other. And that's the case here. And this is, you know, we start practice on Wednesday. So this is my you know, last hurrah.
Sure.
And I can't wait to listen to Coach O'Sullivan from Florida to lead it off. So it's a recharging of the batteries for sure.
Exactly, 100%. I think a lot of coaches resonate with that point. You know, something that came out of our show together was the word mudita. And I feel so compelled to bring that up. I got an email yesterday. I found a quick 15 seconds to scroll through my emails and had an email from a guy who had listened to our show and said, you guys talked about some word mudita. Can you give me a little bit more about it? I'm going to give that guy my full attention post-convention. But let's talk about mudita a little bit. And I can say on air, vicarious joy and another success. I always watch and pay attention to what's going on with your softball program. I feel like I have vicarious joy for you. But I want you to talk about mudita a little bit for coaches paying attention. We can even get this on the podcast. As Stu Fritz, one of our VPs, stops by to say hello.
He was the toughest out that I ever played against in high school baseball. He could hit a ball.
Oh, yeah.
For years, we would always say to the team, can you be as happy for a teammate's success as if you did it yourself?
Sure.
And that's what we would say. We would over and over and over. And it happened at the World Series 1 year when we had a pinch hitter come in for a four-time All-American, and the kid hit a grand slam, 2-2 pitch. We were down 2-0. A freshman comes in and does that. And the reaction at home plate was exactly what we want to see. The kid that got pinch hit for was the leading cheerleader in the dugout. And John Kruk was on the air for ESPN then.
Right.
And he kept saying, you know, man, I love the reaction of the senior, though, in the dugout, because look at her. She's cheering for her teammate. And, I mean, it was perfect.
So awesome.
And you never know what's going to happen. And thank God the kid hit. I mean, she got a hit. She hit a grand slam.
Yeah.
But that was the moment, having vicarious joy in someone else's success. Flash forward probably 5 years. I'm reading a book called Help the Helper.
Yep.
And it was, I think, a chapter on servant leadership. And it said having vicarious joy in someone else's success, or in other words, mudita.
That's it.
And I shot up in bed. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a word for what we've been preaching all these years. And I look it up on Wikipedia, and there it was. And the first team meeting of the year, I put it up on our big screen, and I said, there's an actual word to describe our program. And we just did a brand new mural in our clubhouse.
I wasn't going to bring it. I was going to let you bring that up.
It's going to be a surprise for the team.
Yep.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it is a full-length floor-to-ceiling mural of basically mudita moments in the history of our program.
Oh,
so
man.
If you ever come down, you got to come in and see it.
Oh, I'm coming. pull out the air mattress. I'll be there. I'm going to leave you with this, and I think you know, for a guy that is so detail-oriented like you are, I know you didn't show up here to Indy without a game plan. I know you're trying to find somebody or something that you want to learn or grab and take back with you. Could you define that for us? What is that?
Well, I love your podcast about getting ready for this. And there was a lot of, a lot of really good tips in there. But I think this convention is probably going to be infield defense for me.
Okay. All right.
I try to find as many people as I can to talk about just techniques and drills. And
sure.
You know, Kai, the infield guy.
He'll be around here somewhere.
He is one of my favorites. Yep. And Tucker from Yale.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear his
stud
talk. So that's going to be my go-to this weekend.
I love it. Well, obviously, we're paying attention to what's going on. I'm going to be cluing into you a couple times when you're on the bus. Shoot me a text. But, man, I'm just so glad that our association has great men like you inside of it. Thanks for doing what you do. Enjoy your time in Indy. We look forward to catching up again soon, Murph.
Thanks for what you do.
Thanks, brother. Here we are, 7:32 on Friday, ABCA 2018 in Indy. Who do I run into? Matt Tallarico from Wright State University. Tally, thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me. Good to see you.
The pleasure is always on this side of the microphone. I have a chance to catch up with you and talk. Anytime I can get a former podcast guest on, it helps, but more importantly, a great friend. I'm excited to see you here in Indy, my man.
Yeah, no, I've been, I think this is my 10th in a row. I've never missed it. I think it's the first year I slept in a bed, though, so I'm pretty excited.
Awesome.
It's good to be here. And I'm from Indiana, so it's great to be home, too.
That's awesome. That's great. When we talk to these guys, when we get jump them on the show and we go through their ABCA experience, go back through, and the interesting parts that have come out have been the first convention experience and how overwhelming this whole thing is. Can you go back to that moment for yourself?
Yeah, I believe it or not, I remember it being borderline depressing, just looking at how many coaches were out there, how many had to be good coaches, there's just so many, and how few jobs there are out there.
That's a fact.
I remember having to recover afterwards and just being good where I was,
sure,
as you guys talk about,
that's
and
right,
trust that things work out. But I can remember being really exciting. You know, I can remember learning a lot. I remember taking way too many notes.
Right. Oh,
I've gotten better at that as the years go. So, but I definitely remember that. I remember being I wouldn't say overwhelmed was a word, but first time reality sank in that this is a tough profession to get into. So
that's awesome. I want to go through this. I know we talked about it on our show, but I think it's a great lesson here, especially as guys sit around and listen to what we're talking about here. But talk about your growth as a coach. Who were you at 22 when you first broke in? What makes you laugh when you think about that guy?
I feel like I'm much more patient now.
There it is.
And nobody ever taught me that. I think you just get it with time.
Yep.
I think I deal with players better specifically.
Okay.
Now, as far as, you know, it's a team sport, but it's very individual. Especially, I do so much development stuff.
Sure.
And you just, two people aren't the same. And everybody says that at the beginning, but I think that's another thing. It just takes time.
Right.
You got to know how to talk to somebody, how to respond to them when they're in a good mood, in a bad mood.
Right.
Had class all day, had lifting all day. We forget the more we get out of playing, how much we ask out of these guys. And I think I was very impatient looking back on myself. I was very naive, too. And I think, you know, think I could help everything. And you find out through the years, you can't always help everybody the
way
you want them. But in a weird way, I think being naive helps too.
Yeah.
You know, because some of the stuff that's helped me in my career, I don't know why I thought they would work, and they work. So,
how about that? You've got an interesting experience. You've been really entrenched in ABCA. You've spoken on the main stage.
Yeah.
Got you out this fall. Got you on two different Barnstormer stops. Obviously, you guys hosted at Wright State.
Yep.
So ABCA is running through your blood. And I guess the question would be, why is the ABCA so important to you? Being part of the coaching fraternity, what's that mean to you personally?
I mean, it's a big deal. Anytime I get to go to one, let alone, I never thought I'd be able to speak.
Sure.
There wasn't the Barnstormers when we started.
Right, right.
There wasn't Twitter when we started our
right.
podcast. But having any sort of role, I honestly didn't think that would ever happen. So anything I'm able to do, I feel very lucky. I know how much I've learned from people that have been up on the stage. And, you know, if I could say something tomorrow to help somebody,
right?
I think that's awesome. It means a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah. This convention, we're rolling out something brand new. We're doing youth clinics here on site. The ABCA for a long time has really not been specifically targeting those youth coaches. And we've realized that if we are going to truly grow the game of baseball, you've got to get it on that grassroots level. You've got to bring the youth coach up and breaking out these youth clinics, man. We're excited to have you jump on that stage and help us out with it.
Yeah, no, it's a little more challenging than you'd think.
Absolutely.
When you're on the main stage, you're just giving your absolute best stuff.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And now you have to be aware that there might be a 7U coach.
Right.
So covering 7U to high school
it
can be tough. But I think I'm excited. I think you're exactly right. I think getting some – because I'm from Indiana. So
right.
I know there are a ton of youth coaches in the area, guys that helped me grow up.
That's right.
You know, so – my dad would have loved this.
Sure.
You know, my dad wasn't a high school baseball coach, college baseball coach, but
yep.
he was a great youth coach. That he would have had me here, and he would have loved this.
So,
so
awesome.
I think it's a great idea.
We're excited about it, and we're excited to work well for those guys. Got Andrew Bartman in place as our youth in high school and travel liaison, and we're excited about what he's doing. Another question that comes up for me, and I've used your example so many times of last year in Anaheim. And I'm walking out from the Anaheim Convention Center, and I'm walking back to the hotel, and I stumble on this lobby area, and there you are with about 50 coaches. Yeah. You're in your lead talking about base running. And I think that one thing accentuates the fact that you have really placed yourself, and I'm going to brag on you because I know you won't, as a thought leader in the area of stealing bases. With stealbases.com, what you've done at Wright State, what you've done at Dayton, what you've done throughout your entire career, you've set yourself in that place. But then I think that also defines what the ABCA is all about. We're all about learning, growing, finding a nook, and finding a way to hot stove and get better.
Yeah. You know, this sparked a lot of it. The ABCA, Mike Roberts sparked a lot of it. Relationships I've had with him and other random people that they don't even know we had a conversation
right.
that helped me in my career.
Right.
And I take a lot of pride in from, you know, growing as a coach in the books I read and the people I talk to try to think outside of the box and do things different than I know other people are doing.
Right.
Because, again, that first convention put it in place. I'm going to have to do something different to get a job if I ever want a
That's
job.
A fact.
So. You know, I take a lot of pride in trying to find different ways. And I'll be honest, a lot of times taking that route, you waste a lot of time
sure.
because a lot of stuff doesn't help. But when you find something that does, I think it's special. And we continue to grow, and my players help that thought process too.
Sure.
And the coaching staff, Jeff Mercer, right, say he's the absolute best boss you could have.
Yep.
Probably wouldn't like me calling him a boss even. But, you know, he encourages that. He's fueled that fire in the last 3 years more than – anybody, just letting me know it's normal to think like that. And he's my age. He's
sure,
just,
exactly.
He's just old for his age, I guess. So.
He's a stud across many levels.
Yep.
I want to leave you with this. When you're walking into a convention experience, and I think for anyone that is, maybe they sat on the fence, they didn't pull the trigger, they didn't show up to Indianapolis. And so they're listening to the show, and they're trying to get a feel for what really goes on here. And, you know, when we say can't miss opportunity, what's that mean to you? But more importantly, give them the pitch. Show up in Dallas and join us and see what this is all about.
Yeah, I think I've been to Dallas specifically
yes.
two or three
yeah.
times, I think.
New location this year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
For next year.
People come from different reasons. Number one, I like coming to hang out with people I haven't seen.
Right.
That is still very important. I was with Nick McIntyre, a good friend of mine, Derek Woodley, good coaching people that we just live too far away from each other.
Right.
Have normal relationships as friendships. But
Derek Woodley, who still introduced himself to me today for some strange
yeah,
reason.
He'll
yeah,
he'll do it.
Exactly.
Like that. But, yeah, so I think it depends what you're coming for. It can be reasons like that, which are very good reasons to come, but I just like the information.
Right.
I like the information I get. I think it's a way to take 3 days and really like jump in the deep end,
right,
get all the information, sort through what you can use, and more importantly, what your players can use.
Right.
And then take it back. And that's, in my opinion, that's how you grow it. I mean, it's like reading a ton of books in 3 days. And it's kind of like when I first started, it was kind of like a camping trip, you know, like
right.
I was seriously on the floor sleeping in somebody's room and just saving money, you know,
sure,
and trying to take in any information I could. So I think, you know, if you can swing it and get out there, it's worth the 3 or 4 days.
That's right. Oh, I love it. I'm so thankful that guys like you are inside the ABCA. I know our team appreciates loyal coaches. More importantly, they appreciate men who are out doing the same thing we're doing. We're growing the game of baseball. We're working to educate coaches, and we're doing it the right way. So, man, we're thankful that you're here. Enjoy your time in Indy. Have a great time.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you having me. Thanks.
My pleasure. Well, when you're walking through the halls of Indy, and from a distance you see your brother from another mother.
From another mother.
And you want to bring him into the podcast. Stephen Mackey.
What's up,
welcome,
man,
to the podcast.
Dude, you are a real person.
I am.
You're not just a Twitter handle, an avatar, a voice on my podcast in my ear at 2X.
That's right.
You are a real man.
I am. And I look this good in person. It's
you
not
sure
just an
do.
Image.
It's not just fake. It's not fake news.
That's this, what it is. This is real. This is what we're doing. And we're on site here in downtown Indianapolis. We've got 6,000 coaches walking around
Unbelievable.
Us trying to do some live podcast stuff. But I wanted to get you on because what's unique, Mac, this is your first experience
my
here
very
at ABC.
First one.
How's it hitting you so far?
Oh, my goodness, man. This is unbelievable. Everything, all of the hype, all of the Twitter promo, all of the things that coaches have said to be true, they pale in comparison to the reality of what it is to be here.
So awesome.
Surrounded by 6,000 coaches focused in on one thing. It's unbelievable.
So great.
First class.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And you can feel it. And that's what we want to do this on site is we're trying to capture this energy.
Yeah.
It's tangible. We'll try to get it back on the airways for our podcast. And certainly when you come on, I'm worried that there's not a fire extinguisher close because I'm worried the airwaves may catch on fire with the energy that's going to be coming through. But let's get into this because what's unique is your first experience, but I've known you for a while and you and I've connected. And I love you as a brother. I love you as a mentor in so many respects, but trying to get you on that Expo Theater stage.
Yeah.
And I know you're fired up about it.
Come on.
You're going to bring two words, character development, and your mission to help grow coaches. Dive into what you plan on talking about on the stage.
Yeah, you bet. Man, every day we wake up and we do one thing, and that is ask the question, how can we help coaches and athletes connect the dots between sports and
life?
Come on with it. And because we believe full stop that if you can learn to be successful in the game of baseball, you can learn to be successful in the game of life.
That's right.
And so tomorrow, 1:15 Expo Stage, we're diving into what it looks like to have a game plan for you to build a culture of character, to look beyond the scoreboard. The very best in the world are here to help you learn to catch and throw and hit and mental skills and all of that. And what we're going to talk about is the foundation on which those tools get built.
Right.
Because it doesn't do much good to have a $1 million house on a $100 foundation. And at the end of the day, that's what we at Two Words Character Development are about, is building the foundation so that as you get out to do what you do as a coach and build those 6 tools, you have that firm foundation to build on so that they won't be limited by their character.
I love it. I was going to frame this question in, hey, Matt, give me the Cliff Notes version, but I know you well enough. There is no Cliff Notes version.
It's all in. Go big or go big.
But I think for our listeners and our guys paying attention, and certainly the guys that are going to walk over to Expo to see you, give us the brief synopsis of what you've been doing this past year, because your stat line is as impressive as anything. I know you're a motivating dude from that respect, but break it down for us.
Yeah, you bet. So January 12, 2017, a friend of mine said, hey, I think that you can make a living working with coaches and helping athletes. And I said, there's no way. And he said, don't start with no, start with yes. I said, no, it can't happen. He said, don't start with no, start with yes. And if you knew it could be done, how would you do it?
Right.
And so we sat down and we made a plan, and out of that came two words. And he said, look, now you've got a plan that you know you would do if it would work.
Right.
Now go make it work. And so that day, January 12th, we went to work, and now we are 357 days later, coming up on the one-year anniversary, and in 2017, was privileged to give 282 speeches across the state of Texas and in 11 states across the U.S. We're in 121 schools across, and we are on our march to a million, and we started 2018, and we will impact 144,000 coaches, athletes, and parents every single week with our curriculum, a curriculum that includes a 7-minute video, show where each week we have a character trait of the week for every week of the school year.
Yep.
And 7-minute video defined and described by two words.
Yep.
And it comes with that a workbook with lessons for coaches, captains, athletes, and parents. And we like to say that things aren't powerful until they're practical, and they're not practical till they're personal. And so we dive in and we go, how can we make this as personal and practical as can be,
yep,
not only for the athletes,
yep,
but for coaches. And you can take all of this, and we've put it in a way, we designed it with coaches in mind, we can do it in 12 minutes a week. Like, if you do nothing but hit play and read a quote 5 days a week,
yep,
it takes you 12 minutes, and you've got an intentional game plan that'll help lay the foundation for the rest of the life of your athletes and yourself. But beyond that, if you want to go all in and, yep, go full bore, like Coach Morris says at Arkansas, left lane, foot hammer down, full tilt,
that's boogie, it, yeah,
then you've got the framework to do that. And so as we've just wrestled through that over the last year, it has built and it has grown momentum, namely because, not because I'm that great at what I do or I'm that good looking or any of that good stuff, right? But namely because it is meeting a need.
Right.
That is out there.
Right.
And it turns out that when you are genuinely interested in helping other people, mm-hmm, then you find people to help.
You know, as you're talking, and obviously we talk so much, I'm reflecting and it's starting to really bring back a feeling of maybe a reason why you and I connect so much personally is that I believe in the grassroots approach. I firmly believe that you can't do what you want to do. Like, from an ABCA perspective, we can't do everything we want to do by hanging out in the office in Greensboro. So we've, that's got right, to get out. We've got to go attend games. We got to get out to the World Series. We've got to be more visibly seen by our coaches so they feel a real connection with what we're doing. And what you're describing is exactly that, a grassroots approach of, I'm going to go live in my car.
That's,
I'm going to bounce around. I'm going to come into your locker room.
Gas and gear.
Gas and gear, baby. I was getting ready to walk that path. And you're going to take a grassroots approach to doing it. And I think there's such a deeper connection that I'm certainly want you to speak on, mm-hmm, the connection that you're having with the locker rooms, the coaches, the players that you're affecting.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's such a privilege to get to do what I do. And when you think about it, as someone who comes into a locker room, mm-hmm, I could, in 7 minutes, ruin a coach's career. Everything that a coach is working towards, is building towards, in,
right,
7 minutes, could destroy in a speech because there's power in your words.
That's right.
And so to be given the opportunity and the trust and the privilege to step into a locker room,
right,
to not only speak, but to speak on their behalf,
yep,
to speak into the lives of their athletes whom they've been entrusted to care for, that doesn't come because you're good.
Right.
That comes because they can trust you. And I remember, man, early on in 2017, I thought that I would be successful if I was the best communicator that these coaches and kids have ever heard.
Go into
it. That if I was the best, then their lives would be changed because of how good I was.
Right.
But along the way, you know, all the reps, all the speeches, all the podcast episodes, over 100 podcast episodes,
yep,
all of that in, somewhere there was a switch where I realized that lives wouldn't be changed because I was the best, but because I genuinely cared about the people I was talking to.
Love it.
Because there was something beyond me.
Yep.
And if I would connect in that, and I would care more about them than me, if I would give more than I asked for, add more than I asked, gave more than I take.
Right.
Then there would be the change. And it turns out that not only was there change, but there was trust and there was spreading. And I owe so much of what we're doing to the fact that we connected with coaches, genuinely cared about them,
yep,
and they said, this guy's the real deal. Hey, you need to check him out. Hey, he's the real deal. You need to check him out. And then we're happening by word of mouth.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And it's not because of great marketing. It's because coaches trust and believe. And it turns out the same thing happens for you as a coach,
sure,
and your athletes.
Sure.
That they're not going to change. They're not going to become the best on the field because you're the best coach.
Right.
But because you genuinely care about them.
You literally just walked exactly where I was going, because we connect with so many coaches on here and we discuss, and we have on these shows, we've discussed about how as a coach and you get in early, there's a motivating factor there of, I love to be called coach, or I love to be in a position of power. I love to command that respect. And along those same lines, maybe you're chasing a win, you're chasing a trophy, you're chasing a ring. Mm-hmm. And there's an aha moment where all the great coaches decide and they understand, and it smacks them that if I get invested in these kids, if I get invested in my players, if I'm really working about growing up young men, if my whole mission and motivation in coaching revolves around the word relationships, I'm going to be okay. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely. In a lot of ways, it's the difference between winning and being successful.
Right.
Because winning is about taking. Winning is about me. And at the end of the day, when you win, 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 what happens? You ask, then what?
That's it.
Then what? You go 42-0, then what? Well, it starts over.
Exactly.
Brand new season.
Exactly.
Right? Winning is a greedy mistress. It always wants more and more and more.
Every bit
but
of it.
But success is about generosity. Success is about giving and giving and giving. And when you as a coach step out and say, I'm more interested in you being successful
right.
than I am in me winning,
right.
then all of a sudden, now you give and give and give. And what do those athletes do when they receive? The most natural thing, they turn around and give right back. They give you all the effort. They give you all the attention, all the commitment. They run through a brick wall for you, regardless of the win-loss record. But it turns out that winning is a byproduct of success, but success isn't a byproduct of winning. Come on with that.
Come on, baby. The table literally just spontaneously combusted. We're on fire right now. That was a dynamite certified audio gold moment right there, Mac. And here's what's great, man. You know, bringing you on the podcast this spring,
yeah.
and we're going to talk through a lot of the same things we're talking about now.
Love it.
And I hope we can recreate this energy, recreate this message, and I know we will. The one thing that I know between you and I is there will be no time clock on our interview.
No,
I will not set a watch. We will talk as long as we need to talk. That's we will it. Discuss what we need to discuss.
We'll go two parts. The first ever two-part
exactly.
calls from the clubhouse.
And we will break it down because I think what you're doing and your mission to really work and develop coaches and hopefully motivate their hearts That's to it. Approach their job differently and think differently and deal with their players differently and more positively. That's what you're really preaching, and that's what's so specific to what our mission in here is at ABCA. Mm-hmm. That's why you're a perfect member. I love that number is one.
Come on.
And I'm going to laugh because in 30 years we're going to sit here and do this interview all over again.
My man.
And that whole number is going to change. You're going to be in crooked numbers and double digits.
Let's do it.
But, dude, you're so powerful. Keep being part of what we do. Keep crushing it. I know you're going to dominate Expo Theater.
Thanks,
and I just wish you all the luck in the world.
Hey, thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man.
No
and,
doubt.
And just what an incredible job you've done and the ABCA has done. Not just promoting the game, but promoting relationships and
yes.
promoting growth. The thing that I love about ABCA is that this group of coaches is one of the most generous groups of coaches that I've ever seen. Not just generous with time, but with their knowledge and genuinely being interested in helping one another.
That's
is so good. And I'm privileged to get to be a part of it. So
love
thank
it,
you.
Bro. Thanks, Mac.
Yeah, you bet.
Coaches that pay attention to our podcast know we will ask the tough questions and we're willing to always think outside the box, and we're going international. We're going international on this interview as we welcome in Liam Carroll, manager of Great Britain. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sheets. If you will just permit me a moment to appreciate the Sheets fan club. I am a charter member. Your title is division liaison, right?
Technically.
Our program is like just about any other. We'll have competition on the line, like if you lose, you have to do extra conditioning or things like that.
Right.
The thing that maybe is a little different is if you win, you do more. So the
Love
extra
it.
Conditioning and the players can finish the sentence. Winners win because winners do more. Holy cow, Sheets, you are doing so much more and it's awesome. And thank you for having me on.
I appreciate that. We've got a great team here at ABCA. We're doing some big time things. Indy being our biggest convention ever. We're at the most members we've ever had inside the ABCA. We're growing exponentially. But it's also, you know, we got to thank guys like you that are loyal to what we're about. I mean, again, we're talking about crossing waters to get to the convention. And I know that's important for you each and every year. And I think let's start there. Let's open up. Why is it important to you? What do you gain each and every year with your convention experience?
Well, I think the first thing to think about is as much as baseball is growing internationally and in Great Britain included, there aren't opportunities anywhere close to this.
Okay.
So it's circled on the calendar. It's the highlight every year.
Mm-hmm.
The awesome thing, though, is if I was from Indianapolis, I'd be here anyway, too.
That's it.
Because, like you say, it's baseball heaven.
That's it. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go back to your first convention experience. We were just reflecting with Dave Kylitz, our next guest on the show. But you were talking about maybe 03, you're trying to pinpoint your first convention. And I've hit every guest with that. Go back to that first convention experience. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but define it for us. How'd it go?
So at that time, I was still a player.
Okay.
I'd figured out that I wasn't very good.
Like all of us?
Exactly. drove down from Central California, down to San Diego with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
By then, I mean, I was keeping a chart. I was hitting fungo, so I was effectively
retired.
Another guy.
You
exactly,
didn't know yet.
Right? And just no idea what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Really no idea. And I was spoiled because number one leadoff hitter that year was Coach Garrido.
Oh, baby.
So on the flight over here, 10-hour flight, I'm trying to do the crossword, didn't finish, but one of the questions is, it's a word for slack-jawed amazement, and I'm thinking, my name doesn't fit in here because that's me in San Diego in 2003.
Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. Who were you at that time? I always love that question because I think we definitely want to live in the past, but we certainly want to reflect on it, and we want to learn from it. So who were you as that young baseball professional still trying to figure it out? What makes you laugh when you think about that person now?
You know what? I mean, I'd come 6,000 miles as a baseball player, big commitment. I think the awesome thing is that experience helped me figure out that I really wanted to be a baseball coach, thanks to the ABCA, at a time where I could have continued to play.
Sure.
But making that decision and wanting to be like the 5,000 other baseball coaches in the room, it was certainly life-changing.
I love that. I know what you do. I'm probably, I know too much, right? I know what you do there at Great Britain. I know how you're running that program. I know how you're really working that organization. And I want you to open up. What's unique about what you're doing with the GB team? What's unique about what you're really working to build inside that national team?
Well, I think it's sort of a double-sided sword. You've got at the low end maybe a couple thousand players in the entire country scrambling to find 15 to 24 that are good enough to play on the international stage,
right,
where there's more and more professional players coming out of Europe. So Twins fans here will know Max Kepler is German. So we're going to compete against that sort of player.
Sure.
Meanwhile, I've got 2,000 total to find that. So we're trying to just build that gap. And then at the other end, we're in the World Baseball Classic qualifier with, I mean, legendary college players like Michael Roth.
Right.
He's a national team player, British passport holder. So it's on one end, it's the World Baseball Classic, and it's Trevor Hoffman on our coaching staff.
Yes.
And on the other end, I'm going into a school and literally starting with, sorry, kiddo, your glove is on the wrong hand.
Brings it back some perspective
Exactly.
It's interesting. You know, there's so much to be gained from these conversations. And I think one is there's going to be a lot of coaches that didn't make it to Indy for whatever reason. And we're looking to really reach them with this show. If you came to convention and you were part of it, sure, connecting with some guys and hearing how they talk about the game, that's great. But there's some folks that aren't here and they're listening to the show and trying to touch a little bit of that tangible feel, that tangible energy. So I guess if I could, Liam, let me put you on the spot. We're looking to Dallas in 19. How could you tip that person over the fence to understand that on every front, no sales pitch intended, this is a can't-miss opportunity?
You know, there are two things. This is the blender. And whether it's breaking down the X's and O's or the technique or it's the meetings where decisions get made, you're being part of the next 10 years, 20 years, 100 years of baseball. You're shaping history.
Right.
And decisions are made by those who show up. So get here. And the other part of it is whether it's me getting on my 10-hour flight or me having surgery, if my doctor or my pilot isn't current and isn't invested in their development, well, I'm not getting on that plane.
Right.
And I think there's the same element here as coaches. We need to continually strive to improve ourselves.
And that is one thing that I've always been impressed with you, man. You're always continually challenging yourself, always looking to grow. Is there one thing that, or maybe an area of the game that you want to take back with you across the lake from this convention experience? Is there one area that you're really trying to challenge yourself on site here in Indy?
You know, the big thing for me this year is the technology.
There it is. Okay.
And we see our players, our high performance academy, we see our players twice a week at most.
Yep.
And there's some players we don't see more than once a month. So if I'm not current with technology and finding ways for our players that are across the country, then I'm not doing my job.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's always great to connect with you. We're going to get you on the podcast very soon. What I love is our friendship goes well across that big lake in the middle, man. And I admire what you do, admire how you go about doing what you do, and we're thankful that you're inside the ABCA, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to welcome in, I will quote unquote, the godfather of the ABCA, Dave Kylitz. Dave, thanks for jumping on the call with us.
Thanks, Sheets. I appreciate that. It's always good to be here. Just year after year, I always look forward to this week. And it gets better every year.
That's awesome. And, you know, spending so much time with you, I love that my first week on the job, I get a handwritten note from you. And that, for me, as a guy who, this is 14 years continuous inside the ABCA, this is my 12th straight convention, but to get a letter, handwritten note from the guy that was the name that I knew of the ABCA and what you had built here and established from a place of professionalism and a place of class, and I really felt honored to be part of. To get that note, Dave, I'll tell you, live on air, man, that was a really cool moment for me first week on the job.
Well, we certainly welcome you. Craig mentioned what a tremendous – he was so excited that you accepted the position.
Awesome.
When he offered
That's
it
good.
To you. And great addition to the staff. The staff is tremendous. It's
yes.
grown, but every – person on the staff has a role, does a tremendous job, and has added to the betterment of the association.
I love
it. And so we certainly welcome you when you came on board.
I appreciate that.
And we certainly haven't been disappointed.
That's good. Hopefully I'm never going to let you down. I think when we look back, and that's where we're going to take this back a little bit, is I want to go back to not even being the executive director yet, just being a coach and that first convention experience. Now, we've asked that to every single guest on the show, and the words that come out are overwhelming and intimidating. But I want to ask you, Dave, talk about your first convention experience when you first got into coaching.
My first convention was January of 1970, Mayflower Hotel.
Love it.
In Washington, D.C.
Yep.
I was a JV baseball coach at Central.
Okay.
25, 26 years old. It was my first plane flight from Michigan to Washington, D.C. I thought I died and went to heaven just sitting in the lobby
it.
Watching these icon coaches come by. I looked at some of them. I thought, and I say this out of respect, but watching the Big Ten coaches, which were in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. thinking I've got to be 80 to coach in this league.
Right. Got a long way to go.
Yeah, a long way to go. But I think probably as you look back at the Mayflower Hotel, which we had basically the whole thing, Mayflower Hotel is just a little dinky hotel
right.
still in existence and
right.
a great hotel and famous hotel in Washington, D.C. But it seemed like all the coaches in the world were there, but primarily it was Division I
right.
coaches there. And there's probably, I'm going to say, in the neighborhood of 200, 220 coaches in attendance. It looked like every coach in the world was there. And I remember sitting in the lobby, going to the banquet, sitting in on every clinic, and seeing these guys and just dreaming that someday that you could be something like that to help baseball, help your own program,
sure.
Help the association. So and we had our clinics in a room that isn't much bigger than the area that we're sitting in here,
it's
right
lobby
now,
area.
Which is this lobby area,
yeah.
which is very small.
Right.
And our AV consisted of a blackboard and a piece of chalk.
Right.
And I spoke at four national conventions as a head coach, and most of that time we worked our way up to a microphone.
Sure.
We got big enough so we needed a microphone, and then you still had your blackboard and a piece of chalk.
That's awesome.
Now we spend $160,000 on equipment, and we have 7,000 chairs in a room.
That's right.
So it is it's just such a warm – I actually, you know, got such a good feeling – and actually tears in my eyes sitting in the front row at the start of that thing this morning and looking back and seeing over 6,000 coaches in the room. That's something really, really special.
That's really got to hit you hard when you reflect back, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, the great thing about this, say we got 6,000 coaches here, we're going to send 6,000 coaches home better coaches and hopefully better people as well.
I love it.
And back when my first one, 200 of us left, better coaches for it.
That's right.
So it's always been the same in terms of what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just grown into what we have today. And the other thing I'll mention, Sheets, is that at our first convention in a little dinky Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., we had, I believe, four advertisers, as we call them that day.
Go into it. I love this.
That had a card table set up in the lobby.
Which I think is awesome.
And now you walk into that exhibit hall with just under 200,000 square feet and over 300 exhibitors. And then, of course, the booths have gone from a card table to these elaborate things, which are unbelievable.
Could you even fathomed that it could grow to this extent?
No, you don't think in those terms. I think you just see growing. I remember Dutch Ferring, the famous baseball coach at Stanford. Dutch was probably, he and I were walking down the hallway in Chicago a few years ago. I thought Dutch was probably at the time, Dutch was about 90 years old. He came every year till he was 93, and he was on our board of directors. And he and I are walking down the hallway at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and it was going to be our biggest convention. And he said, "Dave, do you ever see the day that we might be able to get to 3,000 members?"
Wow.
And I said, "Well, that's our goal. Now this year we're going to be at 10,000. So that's really something. Now, the thing that we've done, one of the changes, I think one of the really great changes, and this is starting maybe at the time when I took over 23 years ago, is the addition of more Division II, more Division III, NEIA, junior college, and youth coaches.
That's right.
And that is where we've really expanded. The Division I coaches have always been a big part of this from day one, but now to add all of these others, Craig and the staff now are really hitting and going after more and more youth coaches.
Yes.
Because it's impossible to come to this place. It's impossible to not become a better coach by being a member of the ABCA.
That's awesome. And that's a story that we tell quite often is since 1945 and those founding fathers growing it, it was primarily a college coaches baseball association. Right. I think where it's grown, when you look at welcoming many, just even the high school and travel realms, they make up about 40% of our membership, and that's a large segment. And now we're working really hard to be great for youth coaches. And here's the point, Dave, that we've talked about with a number of our guests is we realize that if we are truly going to grow the game of baseball, if we're really get to a point where we're impacting across every single front, we've got to start at a grassroots level, and we got to get the dad and the professional youth coach involved.
Well, that's where it starts.
Yes.
That's where it starts. And you guys, meaning the staff that we have now, have done a great job of incorporating that and that growth, and that will continue to grow.
Right.
There may be a day in the near future where we have 10,000 coaches at the convention.
There's no doubt about it. That's our plan. You know, that's our mission.
Yeah.
We're working it. An interesting dynamic. You talked about 23 years ago, and that's where I was going to go with this. You become executive director of the ABCA, an association that you're extremely passionate about and very involved with. And you had a chance to take the reins and run with this thing. How much did your perspective change once you moved in that administrative role running the ABCA?
Well, I've been on the board of directors. I was actually a charter member of the board of directors with the ABCA. And so I'd been involved with it for many years and knew what we're trying to do and so forth. So when I took over the office, we had a staff of three, myself and two others.
Yep.
I got the stuff from Dick Berkus, who had been our executive director. I think everything that from the office came in two small boxes.
Right.
And we started from there, needing furniture and everything else.
Sure.
And, of course, one of the biggest changes and one of the greatest impacts that we've had has been with legislation.
Yes.
Because we had none. We had done none of that prior to at that time. I had a good background in that because I'd served on as athletic director at Central. I served on the NCAA Council, Management Council, which was basically the governing body of the NCAA outside of the convention itself.
Right.
And so I think I knew the ins and the outs and the right people of the NCAA, the commissioners, ADs, the NCAA staff.
Sure.
So that's when we really got involved with the legislative issues. And quite frankly, probably 75-80% of my time was dealing with coaches, with the NCAA, and the legislative issues.
Sure.
So we've really made an impact over the last 23 years as far as improvements of conditions for not only Divisions 1, 2, and 3, but also NAIA Junior College.
Yes.
So that's probably the biggest thing that we tackled outside of the convention and the normal things that you do. And then, of course, growing the convention, growing the membership, publications. And, of course, you guys in the last 3 years have taken it to even a greater level. The thing that you've done where you guys have had the expertise is the social media aspect of it, where you've got 20,000 coaches on Twitter. And,
over 21 now.
And over 21,000 coaches. And that constant communication. So that if now I believe that if you do anything at all with baseball, you should be familiar with what the ABCA is all about.
And I know I gave you this when we talked in Omaha, and we had our board of directors meetings, and we were discussing through our Barnstormers coaching clinics, and that got us out of the office in Greensboro, got us on site some different places, and we're running these coaching clinics. And I asked the question at every single clinic, how many of you signed up for this event and you had never heard of the ABCA before? Which to you and I, who are passionate and loyal and know nothing else, we go, there's no way you don't know. Yeah. And the hands raise up. And it's a group of 75 coaches and there's 30 hands in the air. And so it just showed us, Dave, and this is what we talk about in our board meetings, and certainly you're helping us with that, is we got more work to do. We got to keep beating the streets. We got to keep reaching coaches, and we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg with this thing.
Yeah, it's been remarkable, the growth and what's going on now, and it's going to get nothing but better. As I mentioned, if you're a baseball coach at any level, you got to be a member of this because it's going to make you better.
I love it. Now, an element that's come out of all these conversations, which actually is a staple in essence of our podcast, it comes back to more than chasing rings and wins. And maybe statues. It comes back to relationships. And I know for you, a guy that you probably have touched every single person that's here in some form or fashion, and I know so many rush up to you to say hi. The relationships piece is important to you, and I know that it is, but how rewarding is it and fulfilling is it for you to come back each and every year, see old friends, but also make new ones as well?
Yeah, there's that. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
I think baseball – not to knock any other coaching profession or coaching area, but baseball coaches seem to really enjoy each other.
Yes.
I mean, all you got to do is sit in the lobby of the hotel or walk around here and see the hugs.
That's right.
Now, that's really special.
Yeah.
And, of course, sometimes these guys are competing against each other at the highest level on the diamond and in recruiting trenches.
Right.
But yet, when they're off that field, they're best of buddies.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the mingling of a high school coach with a college coach,
sure,
a youth coach with a junior college coach, a Division I with an NAIA, it's just tremendous relationships. And one of the really neat things, and I always felt is so important, is the networking that takes place and the learning that takes place in the hallway. You go over to the hotel and you see four guys in a corner with a coach demonstrating the curveball.
That's it.
And then over in another corner, there's 10 coaches sitting around there talking about, reading a pitcher to steal a base. And so it is a great, great feeling. And with our board members, I keep in touch with the ones that can't make it anymore. And it's really kind of a tough thing for them when they can't come anymore.
That's right. That's
because these people mean so much to them. These are their very best friends. But we keep in touch with them, and it's just a special time.
Well, I've said this in written form as I replied to your handwritten note. I've said this to you in person. I'll say this live on the air. The growth of the ABCA under what we're doing in the national office now is only because you helped build us a platform of professionalism and class and establish the ABCA, whether it's in the realm of our exhibitors and our trade show, within our coaches, within our relationships with the NCAA, the NAIA, the NJCAA. Dave, you really built us a platform to work upon, and we're certainly living in your legacy, and we just appreciate who you are and what you are for the ABCA.
Well, I appreciate that, Sheets, but there's been a lot of people along the way, and no one person can do it. But you try and you set this foundation with a lot of great leaders, which we have in our game.
That's it.
And it'll continue to get better and better.
I could not think of a better way to bring the on-site podcast episodes to a close than to have on the Godfather himself, Dave Kylas. Thanks for jumping on with us.
All that does is make me feel old.
You have perspective. Not age, you have perspective. Dave, I appreciate you jumping. Thanks for carving out some time, my man.
Thanks, Sheets. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for checking out this show. And if you're interested in more certified audio gold, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever podcasts are free. You can also head over to abca.org/podcast and scroll through all of our shows. And as always, coaches, thank you for listening in and staying dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Until next week, we ask you to keep growing, keep developing, keep challenging yourself inside this game. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.